in the power of God's word. I believe in the power of God in us. I don't believe in the power of flesh. I don't believe in the power of good intentions. I believe in the power of change that comes through the word of God. That's why I'm a pastor. That's why you're a Christian. That's why you're a minister. You're not just a Christian. Each and every one of you is a minister. And your power is the word of God that he has placed in you. Amen? And if we can't hear his voice, if we can't hear him, then we can't be the lights he meant us to be. Therefore, we have done a whole series on the whispers from God. And I printed about 40 or so of my notes are on the back table. Every week I print more and they're gone. So I'll keep printing more until people stop taking them. Then I won't kill the trees. Heavenly Father. Father, my heart is so broken. During this season of joy, during this season of celebration, my heart is broken for all the wounded people, all the people who can't connect with the joy of Christmas. They can't connect with the joy of Christmas because they haven't connected with you. This is a glorious time. This is an amazing time. But the worries and concerns and disappointments of this life have crushed their spirit. God, restore unto them. Use us to hear your whispers and to give them hope in their lives. Help us to feed the poor next Sunday, Father. Help us to help those, Father, that are unable to help themselves. They are unable to hear for themselves. God, allow us to be those who, when we hear you speak, shout it from the rooftops, God. That we proclaim the word of God, and we proclaim hope and life over every individual. I don't care about their background, their ethnic origins. I don't care about any of that. I care about one thing. Do you know Jesus or do you not? And if you don't, I want to help you know him. Because when you're connected to your creator, when you're connected to the source of all life, then your life takes on a whole new meaning. If you're a young person, you're hearing my voice here, and you want meaning in your life, you won't find it by your career without God. You won't find it in anything but connecting to the creator who created you. It's only then do you know and understand your true purpose. Thank you, Father, for opening our ears, our eyes, and all our spiritual senses, Father, that we may hear, that we may understand, and that we may obey your voice. In Jesus' name, amen. Whispers from God. Today we're talking about more than a whisper. More than a whisper. God, as we talked about in Job, God speaks one way and then he speaks another. He's always speaking to us, but none perceive. Why? Because none are watching for it. None are looking for it. I told you about that time I was counseling that person. I didn't know what to say to him. Then a butterfly, the first of the year, flew over the car. And I sat there. I go, God is bringing new change in your life. You see, God is speaking to us. He controls every molecule, every atom around us. And when we begin to interact with him, when we have a personal relationship with him, we begin to start to see him in everything. And it's not just like, well, you see what you look for, you see what you see. Listen, when you walk this walk, there are things that simply, the odds, the consequences of what, the circumstances of what you're doing, they can't be measured. If you were a betting man, you couldn't make things happen. I remember speaking to a crowd of people, and suddenly I looked at a person speaking about Warren Nodge. I looked at him, I pointed right at him, and I said, you were looking to buy a brand new car this morning. He hadn't looked for looking at a brand new car for years. He fell out of his seat. Why? God wasn't doing that for me so I could sit here and brag to you guys or to uplift myself. He was doing it for that person to say God was in his life. That it was. The guy fell out of his seat. He goes, how did you know? How did you know? I didn't know. I honestly had no idea when I said it. That's the way it is with God. When you have an imagination, you think of things from your own imagination, you have a sense of ownership. But when something comes from God, it just comes, and you get it and you release it. If you try to hold on to it, if you try to make it work, if you try to put it in context, you'll mess it up every time. It's just this instantaneous thought that comes into your heart, comes into your mind, and you sit there and you go, bam, that's it. And I haven't done this just once. I'm not bragging about myself. I'm trying to give you an example. I'm trying to tell you how it works with me. But it just comes. And if I mess with it, it's over, you know? But if I just deliver what's given, it's there. Yes. And it can be something simple. It can just be something simple. It can be just like, you know, God's coming with a breakthrough for you.
Amen.
You've been praying. You've been praying about something specifically. And not just about him, but about also a ministry thing. And God's heard your prayer. And he's going to do something amazing through you. And get ready, because breakout is coming. 2019 is going to be breakout for you. You know, people ask me what the word of the Lord is for the year. It's different for all of us, but I have one. I'm going to give it to you but that's not for a couple weeks. Praise God. God is so good. So what was I think? More than a whisper. So God is speaking all these different ways. How do I put it all together? How do I bring it all into focus so that I can operate in that environment? The first number one thing, I'm just going to give you this because it's not even my notes, is you have to maintain your relationship with them. You have to spend time with God. And don't tell me, like, I don't have time, because God is the creator of all time. And the one thing God created when he created time was time for you to spend with him. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Second thing, what does it feel like to go with the flow? We're going to talk about that today. How do I, once I get interacting with God, once the universe becomes God's voice to me, and I don't mean that the universe is God, okay? Understand what I'm saying. I'm just saying he upholds everything, it says in the Bible, with the power of his word. He can at any moment use any part of it to speak to you that he wants. It doesn't mean like everything you see is God. Your spirit has to be in tune to what he's saying.
That's right. Yes.
You can't sit there and go, oh, I just saw a Maserati go down the street. God must want me to have a Maserati.
Yeah, he does.
No. That's.
I'm kidding.
I don't want a Maserati. I know you're teasing. I know. God has things for you. But people take them. And John says this. He says, But you ask to consume it upon your own lust. See, that's not the spirit. God is spirit, and it's never about selfishness. It's never narcissistic in nature. There's always this sacrificial giving that's involved in the movements of God. It's always that way. God never sits there and tells you, go up to that man and ask him for $20. He'll give it to you. Never says that. God says, go to that man and give him $50. See what I'm saying? It's always about you being a source, a light, a spark to somebody else. That's the nature of God. That's why Jesus came. If God was like the former, then all we would be doing is looking about what we get. And that's what occurred. Hear what I'm saying, because I'm pro-faith. That's what happened in the faith movement, is it became all about what you could get out of it and not about what you could give. And when that turned, it became perverted, and it wasn't of God. Now, I'm not saying that isn't preached right by many preachers. I'm just saying there's some out there, it's all about what you can get from God, not what you can do for God. Does God want you to be prosperous? Of course. What, he wants you to be a failure? He wants you to start a business and fail all the time? Is that? No. Of course God wants you to be prosperous. That's not the point. He wants prosperity for a purpose. He wants you to be prosperous so that you can do something with it. You know what? You guys, this coming year, you need to stretch your faith and reach out for what God has for you. You need to take that next step. And I don't mean incremental. I mean completely new levels of magnitude. You understand what I'm saying? You don't need to go 1 to 2. You need to go 1 to 1,000. You need to look at this is a great opportunity. The economy's rocking right now. You need to take advantage of it. You need to sit there and you need to say, God, what do you want me to do? And then when you prosper at that, you say, God, what do you want me to do with the prosperity? See, that's the part people don't get. They get the first part. They're all about, that's why if I wanted to fill this church up and make it like twice, three, four, five times larger, all I got to tell you is God wants to give you everything you ever lusted for. Man, this place will fill up like crazy. It'll fill up like, you'll have to stand in line to get in there. Not because of the preaching, because of the message. Speaks to the lust of the flesh. But God wants you to be in tune with his spirit. And he wants you to be in tune with his heart. And then, not before, then the universe becomes his voice. Then you begin to hear and to know when your heart is aligned with his. You say, but I don't have barely enough for myself. But you know what the Lord said when the widow gave her two mites? He said she gave more than the rest. It's not about amount. When you that don't have much give a dollar. And those that many, I mean, I hear a lot of, it's very popular now for rich people to, like, you know, here's a check for $10,000. But you know, it doesn't affect their life. You know what I mean? That widow, it affected her very next meal. I don't know what happened by the word of God, but I know in my heart that that woman never lacked after that moment. Amen. When the Son of God is standing there and he is amazed at your faithfulness, I guarantee you she didn't go hungry. Yes. That the Lord had people tripping over themselves to help that widow. And widows were considered to be almost useless. In Jewish society, they were like the lowest of the low. If you didn't have a son to take care of you when you grew old, you were in trouble. And yet Jesus noticed the widow. See, Jesus did everything that wasn't really like the way society was then, right? He empowered women when women were not to be empowered. Matter of fact, the first witness to his resurrection was a woman. Which was the worst witness you could have in Judaism. And yet, he chose to appear to a woman first. And he chose it, not her. And there's a reason why he did that. There's always a reason why God does what God does. God just doesn't kind of like, hey, I don't know, it seemed cool at the moment. He's always got a reason. So why is it important that I learn this flow, that I learn how to do it? Because that's the way we were meant to live. And how can I learn? And then the last question I have, how can we learn to do it? Here's what I want to tell you. You are children of the wind. Now, I want you to hear this. You are children of the wind. You were born to be children of the wind. That was the reason. God never intended us to be led by the circumstances of our life. He intended us to be led by the wind of God. He says such when he's talking to Nicodemus. In John 3:3-8, it says this, Jesus answered him. So Nicodemus came to him at night, and, you know, I know that you're a wise teacher and all this stuff. He's, you know, not willing to really accept the truth of Jesus' identity. And Jesus just, I love Jesus. Like, you're asking him, like, so how do I get down the street? And he's telling you how to, you know, win the world. You know what I'm saying? You know, Jesus never answered you according to your own wants or desires. He answered you with alignment with what the kingdom of God, where you fit in the kingdom of God. Amen. So Nicodemus is coming to him saying, hey, dude, what's this all about? What are you about? And Jesus is like, no, you got to be born again. What? I mean, he just messed with him. I love it. So let's read. So Jesus answered him and said, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That's really important. He didn't say be in the kingdom of God. He says you can't even see it if you're not born again. So people come to church and they go, you guys talk about God all the time. You act like he's real or like he actually interacts with us or he actually does things. Man, when you live it, you know. When you sit out there and you sit there and you point to someone and you say, this is happening in your life and you have no idea or clue who you're talking about, or then you know, because I can't tell you how many times people go, Jeannie was right on. I mean, strangers, okay? It's a gift because that's God, that's not her. I can tell you, I live with the woman. It's God. She's okay with that, by the way. She's taking it down. When my wife acts according to the flesh, it's nagging. When she acts according to the power of the Spirit, it is God. No, I mean that. I'm not always nagging, but you know what I'm saying. It's just her saying things, you know? And then all of a sudden she'll point out to me with that little finger and she'll say something like, get all our stuff out. The stock market's about to crash. It happened in 2008. I pulled it out. There was nothing happening at the time. That was in March of 2008. By June, July, we had the biggest crash ever. It's kind of handy to have that around. You know what I mean? Jesus answered him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, because, you know, he was the big teacher of Israel, said to him, how can a man be born again when he is old? Can he enter a second time in his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, truly, truly, or, you know, I'm telling you the truth, wake up. I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now he says enter. Before he said see, but now he says enter. So there's two parts here. First you see the kingdom, and then you enter into it. But both of them require you to be attuned to God's Spirit. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. The wind, now listen to this part, the wind blows where it wishes. You hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. Now listen to this, it's very important. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. You see, in the world, we sit there and we look at our person, they said, oh, they just won the lotto. Well, they're going to go buy a nice house and a big boat, because that's what people do when they win the lotto, right? But people of the wind don't act that way. They might win the lotto and just give it all away. They're not going to do what the world expects, because they're not motivated by the motivations that the world has. You see, we might sit there and go, there's no jobs here for me. I must move where the jobs are. But God may be telling you, stay right where you're at. Amen. You see, we don't do things, but you may inherit a house. Everyone says, you're going to move into that nice house that you inherited. And you say, no, we're selling it. It's just like what we are guided by is not connected by the circumstances of our life. It's connected by what God desires for us. And until you break loose of the shackles of your circumstances, you'll never be free to flow with the wind. Amen. Do you hear what I'm saying?
Yes.
Until you break free of those shackles, until you get rid of those things that tell you you have to go because that's where your provision is or that's where you are, so, then you'll never be led by the Spirit. Those things that you think are your security are actually your shackles. Next point, we are created to be led by the Holy Spirit. In Romans 8:12-17, I listed the whole thing, so I want you to get the context. So then, brothers, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. Hear that? Not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. Not to the circumstances, not where you see the provision, not where you think your safety is. We weren't. Wind will flow over the surface and it'll flow right over a canyon wall and not even think about it. You see what I'm saying? We were not meant to stay where it was safe. We were meant to go where we're called. The flesh wants what the flesh. The flesh is looking for its own needs, its own wants. And then it goes on in verse 13, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. Die. Jesus is saying, unless you can learn to break the shackles of your circumstances, you're not living according to his blessings and love. Well, does that mean I just need to change my whole life now? Maybe. Or maybe not. Well, where's the rule book? There is none. Your wind. You're supposed to go wherever you feel the unction. I'm going to talk about how to feel that in a moment, so I'm not leaving you stranded. Just taking you to this place where you realize that the flesh brings death. But if you live by the Spirit, you will put the deeds of the to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God, now Spirit is taking the place of the opposite of flesh, and also is taking the place of the wind of God. If you are led by the Spirit of God, you are the sons of God. See, God's people are not captive by their circumstances. God's people are able to live above their circumstances. They're able to live above what they see in the natural. They're not sitting there going, I can't go to Cuba because I don't have enough money. What they're saying in their heart is, God is calling me to Cuba and he will bring in the money. You see what I'm saying? So once you catch the wind and you get where the wind's going, and God has determined, and you have determined what God's will is for you, now God will bring in the provision. But if you're looking in the natural, like, hey, Dave, you know, I want to go to, Africa, and I'm short about $1,000, bro. Can you help me out? See, I'm acting in the flesh. But the Spirit of God is just sitting there going, I'm trusting you, God. You said I'm going, and you got to take the step to go. So Jeannie tells Mitzi, okay, I'm going. And she goes, Mitzi, get the airlines, get all this stuff. And then meanwhile, we're going like, oh, Jesus. and then God suddenly brings in the money. And it's just, it's amazing. And those that gave to this, some are in this room, I want to tell you, your blessings you're going to be so blessed in heaven. And it's not because you gave to a pastor. It doesn't matter who you give to. It doesn't matter what. If you gave to the vision of God that sparked life in you, that you said, I want to be a part of that, then you're going to get blessed out of that. Amen?
Yes.
Far more than money or cash. That's for sure. For if you did not receive the spirit of what? Slavery. To fall back into fear. So what keeps us connected to the circumstances of our lives? Fear. Fear that we're going to step out and we're going to fall on our face. Fear that we're going to step out and God's not going to be there. It takes faith to be the wind. You cannot live in the fear, because the circumstances will sustain you. You have to know, God, where do you want me to be? Now, in my and Jeannie's case, I remember when I was working in Colorado and they moved. They said, sorry, you don't have a job here now, but if you want to go to LA, you have a job. And I'm like, well, we don't have to be moved by that. We don't have to go back to LA. But then we prayed and God said, no, this is my provision. You are to go back to LA. Even my daughters who didn't want to go, they were like, God, we don't want to go back to LA. But even they said, this is God. So sometimes it is there. And sometimes you can't sit there and go, I got to go where it's not. Well, guess what? If you go where it's not and God's not there, then you're going to be going with nothing for a long time. You got to go specifically where you're led by the wind. Amen? And then the provision will be there. You got to hear first before you act. Well, sometimes, and it's hard. I mean, like when you're sitting there and you're going, this way I have no provision, this way I have provision. God, certainly you want me to go this way, right? Certainly you wanted me to go with the provision. But then you realize that that's not how God works. Sometimes it is, sometimes it's not. In our case, it was kind of easy because it was. And the way God confirmed that, God said to us when we got there, we were driving out in our 4Runner, same one I have out there, this is 20 years ago, same one I have out there now. We were driving towards California. And my daughter looked up and said, the Lord just spoke to me. We're going to, this daughter right here, raise your hand. She says, you will find your church and your house on the same day.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
And so we went to H-Rock Church when we got back a week or two later. And I was like, I was just going to try the first church of many. I wanted to meet all the churches. And we walked in and the Spirit of God just confirmed to it. That was to be our church for that season in our life. It was absolutely amazing. I was driving home, and we had forgotten about her prophetic word. I mean, not that Sarah isn't important. She's very important. But we had not really thought about it. And we were driving home, and I said, you know, there's a place I want to live over here. Let's go check to see if there's any houses over there. There was one house for sale. We walked into it. We gave a lower bid than the rest of the people did, and we still got the house. Because God gave us favor. It was favor. We walked in, we met the owner of the house, and she just loved us. And even though she had a higher offer, she's just like, no, I want to give it to them. Favor, favor, favor. When you follow God, you walk in the favor of God. So where was I at? Okay. Spirit self bears witness our spirit that we are the... I haven't gotten there. We haven't gotten there. For you have not received the spirit of slavery. Notice he calls it slavery. To walk in the flesh is slavery. It actually is slavery because everything the Bible says in Hebrews, everything that's not of faith is what? Sin. Yeah. Romans, whatever. It doesn't matter. Whatever is not of faith is sin. So if you're not operating under that guidance of the wind, of the direction of God, if you're not communicating with everything, but how about if I miss it, Pastor? Well, you know, this is just it. If your heart is pure and you missed it, God already knew you're going to miss it, and he's already got a correction made for you. Amen. Don't worry about missing it. Amen. Don't use that as an excuse not to go with the wind. If you miss it, God already knew you were going to miss it. And this is kind of hard to think in the terms of God. And he's got a correction already built in for you. But if you sit there and go, well, I just don't want to make a mistake, well, then you're just going to sit there, and then you will have made a mistake. So receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear of what? Lack. But if you have received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. Then it goes on and says this, the spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer, you're not going to hear this in church, certain churches, yeah. Provided that we suffer with them in order that we may also be glorified with them. Why? Because God sometimes in obedience to God, there is a trial, there is a time of suffering, there is a time where you think there's really going to be the provision, and there isn't the provision. And you're sitting there going, God, did I miss God? Because certainly if I had followed God, there would be more than enough here. And yet there's a time of trial. Okay, I obeyed God. I'm going to stand here. I'm going to do all that I know to do. I'm going to wait on God. It's when you do that, that you bring the impossible into the present. This is good preaching. Just go ask your mom. All right. Thank you, honey. You're my favorite. The Spirit himself bears witness our spirit that we are the children. Think of that we are the children. My heart resonates. I make so many mistakes. I make so many mistakes in life. I say the wrong things at the wrong time. I do the wrong things. I mean, I'm not saying that I have like huge sin problem, but I do things that just aren't of faith. I do all the stuff that you do. All of it. And yet my heart cries, Abba. Yes. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. I've had people come to this church and go, this church isn't for me. I don't belong here. I've got too many things. I'm prison and all this other stuff. Nah, man, you're in the exact right church. You're exactly where you need to be. You are totally welcome. We're all broken. We're all messed up. But if we avoid one another, if we don't come together, if we don't share our lives, we're never going to get... The healing is where the blood flows. You know what? Your blood is meant to clean your body. But when you separate yourself from the blood flow, then you don't get cleansed. And then your problems get worse and worse and worse. Oh, churches are a bunch of hypocrites. Yeah, maybe. But at least we're trying to get fixed rather than just sitting out there and saying, I'm better than everyone else. I'm better than the average person. I don't have no bragging rights. I don't defend God's word. I don't create God's word. I simply live according to it. The best that I can at this point in my life. And as your pastor, that's what I'm asking you to do. To step into that. To step into what God has for you. And not to shy away because of the wounds and the brokenness. Because you know something? I've heard so many people say, I got hurt in church. Really? You went around a bunch of other broken people and you got hurt? I'm amazed. Well, go be safe somewhere. Go move up in the mountains somewhere where you don't have to talk to people. But that's not God's purpose. God's purpose is that I got something that you need. You got something that I need. Right? And when we're together and we're allowing that, the blood to flow, allowing those things, when we lay down our lives for one another, suddenly we begin to get a little bit better. I never feel better than when I help somebody else. That's why I have the best job on earth. I have the best job. People say, I'm burning out. I'm not burning out. I'm just getting started. God is good, and I want to help people. And I want to help them not with just some feel-good help. I want to help them with the truth.
Yeah.
Not my truth. I don't own it. I don't possess it. Jesus doesn't do what I say.
Yeah.
Right? With his truth. Because only his truth brings healing. God says that he sent his word and he healed them. When you hear his word, when you understand what his word says, you become healed.
Yeah.
You become dangerous. You become powerful. You become something that the world doesn't know how to handle. I'm telling you, 12 people turned the world, or 11 people actually, well, if I'm going to tell you, well, never mind. Turned the world upside down.
Yeah.
What could the church do if they would just listen and obey God now?
Yeah.
I'm telling you, we can turn it upside down. And this world needs a little upside down. That we may glorify with him, laying down our lives. Okay, next section, sailing with the wind. I love this part. It's my favorite part. This is the main section. Acts 2:4. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Acts 4:8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders. Acts 13:9. But Saul, who was called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him. Now, you heard what Jeannie was just saying here a minute ago. Her team, when she went down to Cuba, one would all of a sudden have this, the wind would be blowing on one, and then the wind would be blowing on another. And they were just acting like a team. It's like I love my wife, but her organizational skills, not sure she could pull that off on herself. But when you got the, not me either. But when you got the Holy Spirit moving, all of a sudden order comes. All of a sudden power comes. All of a sudden things start happening. You start flowing with the wind. You start interacting with the universe. You start seeing the hand of God. You start seeing pictures over people's heads. You start getting words. Things start flowing when you connect with God and you start loving on them. But the thing is, there's an infilling of God's Spirit in you that empowers you for that specific ministry. At that specific time, you can't use the infilling you got a week ago for what God wants to do in that moment. And you can't earn it. People want to earn it. People want to say, I sat there and prayed in tongues for 5 hours. You can't earn the inflow of God's Spirit. It's grace. And you can sit there and go, well, I'm holy. Don't touch me. That's what I got to say about that. God will use any one of you on your worst day. You can be fighting with somebody. You can be yelling at somebody and turn around and give life to somebody else. Because it's not about you. It's about him. And guarantee you, when me and my wife fight and I end up on the phone ministering to someone, thank God for Jesus. You know what I'm saying? Thank God for Jesus. Amen. Because all of a sudden the grace starts flowing from my lips. I can't take a credit for a single sound that comes out of my mouth. If anything good happens from me, it's all because of him. But I want to tell you something. I'm going to say this to you as your pastor, as your friend, as someone who deeply cares about you. Get over yourself. Get over yourself. God can use you. Get over yourself. I don't know, man. I did something really bad the other day, and I just feel like God's punished me. That's not God. God wants you to repent, but I'll tell you something. The gifts are out without repentance. He'll fill a gift even when it's not repented. Well, even when it hasn't come into full effect, he'll do it not for your sake, but for their sake. That's why some pastors get themselves and some leaders get themselves in trouble, because the Spirit's still flowing through them. And they think they're okay with God, and they're not. They're not. And they think, hey, I'm all right because God moved through me. Nah. That's not how it works. Oh, he's anointed or she's anointed. God's anointed. And every once in a while, you step in his puddle. Okay, moving on here. The New Testament pattern is plain. The Spirit fills, you speak. When the Spirit stops, you stop. Amen. I put in there in my little parentheses, shut up. The Greek word used here for filled is pletho. Pletho is a prolonged form of a primary pleo, which appears on... Oh, God, this is so boring. Anyway, it means this. It's spoken in the imperative mode, and it means to be filled and to continue to be filled. So it's this idea that it's a continuation within the Spirit. But not only that, pletho means to be filled, but it's not like gizmo or kortos, which means to be like a glass being filled with water. That's gizmo. And it's not like kortos, which means to be a glutton, stuffed too much. It has the sense of wind blowing on a cell, imbuing the power of the wind into the cell. We are God's cells. And when we set ourselves up to catch the wind, God blows into our cell, and we are propelled into the ministry that God has for us at that time. That's what the word pletho means. So when they're using this word, when they're writing this down, they're saying, look, you need to be imbued with power from on high, and the only way you can do that is to catch it. Is to make yourself available. You see, if I want to minister to this amazing man right here, I can sit there and start talking to him. But if I want God, I have to connect with God's creation. I have to connect with God's Spirit. I have to connect with all that God is so that I can catch the wind in that moment. And I could be just a mess. I've seen Jeannie just in a mess on things and then get on the phone and just minister to people. And not a mess like she'd done something wrong, but just like something's really bothering her, something's really upset. But all of a sudden, she sets herself up to catch that wind. And when she sets herself to catch the wind blows. Because God is faithful to the person you're ministering to. Well, I can't minister to that person. I've sinned. You know, God will still use you. It's fine. It really is. Don't find excuses why you can't flow with the Spirit. Because people are going to look for them. And I want to tell you, there's a lot of people out there that you may admire, and you don't know how messed up they are. I'm just a pastor that's willing to tell you how messed up I'm at. That's all. And messed up's relative. I mean, it's like, you know, it's not like I'm out there committing adultery or doing some sin or doing something like that. It's just sometimes I don't redeem the time the best way I could, or I don't do certain things, you know what I'm saying, that I know that I could do better. And you know, there's sometimes I'm not as kind and sweet as I naturally am, but so Plato's this whole idea of being imbued, being filled. It's like, and when you see a boat, when next time you see a sailboat, I want you to think about the, you see the sails up and then catching the wind, I want you to think about the Spirit of God blowing, okay, into your sail inside of you. And it has this sense of to imbue, to influence, to supply, and to furnish all that's necessary for what it was intended for, amen?
Yes, amen.
And so I'm not going to go, I already covered all that, gizmo, gemizo and cortos and all that, so we won't do that. Influence, it's not a one-time, it's continuous, it's in the imperative mode. Take the time to pray attention to the Spirit is doing. You can always see the wind, but you can see what the wind is doing. Now, this is really important because Jesus kind of alludes to this at one point. Pay attention to what the wind is doing. Pay attention to what the Father's Spirit is doing. Watch. Be observant. Jesus said this in John 5:19. So Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do what? Nothing on his own accord. I had a big discussion with a guy about this, and he said, no, no, Jesus could do things. I said, no, he really couldn't because his very nature was God, so he's not going to do anything. Okay, I'm not going to go there. But the only what he sees the Father doing. So, now, I want you to understand this. Our authority comes by seeing what the Father is doing around us. Because when we see what the Father is doing, we join in with the Father. You see what I'm saying? The authority and the power is already there. That's the problem with people. They're trying to go out there and make something happen when God is actually waiting for you just to catch what he's already doing. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
So we're out there trying to initiate something, and God's already doing something else. And so what we need to do is watch to see what God's doing and then join in that. That's where the power and that's where the authority is right there. You want to see more miracles this year, you're going to have to learn how to do this. You may see a need, but that's not motivation alone to do it. That's certainly a good starting point, but you also have to feel that inspiration that comes from God's guidance. We're not far from the end. So now I'm going to touch on the last section. What brings the wind? How do we get the wind going? What's the motive behind the gifts? And Jesus gives us, because compassion really is the motivation of the gifts. And when Jesus had compassion, a gift manifested. Whenever you see Jesus having compassion in the Gospels, you always see a gift manifested right after. Jesus with compassion heals, feeds, and restores the sight of those who will receive. Matthew 14:14 is one example. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Now, a lot of us want to do ministry, but we don't want the motivation for ministry to be the primary initiative of that ministry. We like, okay, I want to be a good minister and heal. You're not feeling, I'm going to pray for you. Well, that's good. That's good. And there's nothing wrong with that. But if you pause a moment and you catch the wind and you see what the Father's doing, it's going to have a lot more effect, and it's going to be more successful. A lot of times when I pray for people, it's because they come to me and they were coming to Jesus and Jesus healed them. And that's okay, because you're watching what the Father's doing. And if people are coming to you with that, then that's where the wind's blowing. But if you just see someone that's sick and you say, I'm going to go pray for that person, take a moment. Wait a second. Catch the wind. Find out what God's really saying. Amen? Yeah. This happens over and over again. In feeding the 4,000, Matthew 15:32, it says, Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I have compassion on the crowd because they have been with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. Now, if you heard a person was preaching up out in the country somewhere, would you go out there for 3 days and not have enough food? These people were hungry for the word of God. Amen? Yeah. And I am unwilling to send them away hungry, lest they faint on the way. And then he tells the disciples, you feed them. And they're like, what? we serve a God, this is what I wrote, we serve a God without limits through faith. And here's what I'm trying to say. Faith comes by love. And so compassion motivates the desire to do the acts that faith can accomplish. If you don't have the love, you're never going to have the faith. The Bible says, ultimately, God is love. Yes. So if we don't have that love and that compassion, we're never going to see the acts of faith that come from them. Matthew 20:34 says, and Jesus in pity touched their eyes, and immediately they recovered their sight and followed him. And then Galatians 5:6, the last part says, but only faith working through love. That's how it works. And the last sentence I want to leave with you today is there's three things I want you to focus on this next week before we start the new series next week. These are the three things. First one is learn how to surrender. Surrender to God in every moment and every place that you're in. Surrender is something that takes a personal initiative to do. A lot of things are God-initiated, but surrender is you need to initiate it. Number two, learn to watch. Learn to see what the Father is doing around you. Pay attention to the effects of the wind around you. And number three, obey when you see God doing something. Get involved. Jump in. Do what you felt led to do. Don't sit there and disqualify yourself. Understand God will use you just as you are. There's this idea that we have to become super holy before God will use us. That's not true. God wants to make us holy. But I want to tell you something. One of the quickest ways to become holy is to learn to obey God, because that's what holiness is. And if you start here and don't do it over here, that's okay. Start somewhere. Pray for a sick person. Lead someone to Jesus. Ask someone to come to church with you. I guarantee you I will give them an invitation for Christ. Bring them to the Christmas party next Saturday. I will guarantee you I will give an altar call. I'm going to present the good news of Jesus Christ every day. People don't believe we're really connected. They believe it's just a religion. Like we're just going through the motions, right? Just the motions of religion. They don't think that God really interacts with us. I tell you what, I wouldn't be here today if he didn't. I'm not interested in religion. I'm not interested in feeling good about myself. I'm not interested in thinking that if I just act a little better than my neighbors, then I'm a better person. I'm not better than they are. I am saved. And I am spirit-filled. And I am going to follow my Father. I'm better than nobody. I don't even compare myself with other people. I compare myself with Christ every day, and I know why he's Lord. Yes. Amen? And that's the only person I ever have to compare myself with. Yes. Do you understand? That's why I'll never mention another pastor from this pulpit unless I have good things to say about him. I don't need to sit there and downplay somebody. Yes. I don't have to sit there and attack someone to feel better about myself. All I have to do is follow my Father. Go ahead and bow your heads with me. I don't know. Maybe you're listening to my words and you're like, okay, some of the things he says, all right, whatever. Here's my challenge. Here's my challenge to you that don't know or understand what I'm saying or are not sure if you believe it. Take the challenge. Take the challenge of asking God into your life. Take the challenge of saying, God, can you really open up the universe to me? Can you really communicate through me to all these different ways? You know, take the challenge of stepping into this thing and saying, God, I need help. Because, you know, that's the one thing you know right now being in this room is you need help. You know that you're not all together. You know that whatever comes after this life, you're not ready for it. See, all other religions say, if you live to this standard, God will accept you or the gods or whatever. But in Christianity, we say, don't even try. Don't even attempt to earn your way into God's grace. Because then you would just be boastful and bragful for the rest of eternity. God says that nobody is able to earn that. That all the things we do right are like dirty rags to him. It is an accepting a free gift from God by taking the sacrifice of Christ and saying, Jesus, thank you for dying for me. By receiving that offer of his life for yours, that God paid the penalty so that by grace you are saved. By this alone allows heaven to be heaven. Because when we all get up there, none of us can take the glory. None of us can brag or think ourselves better than someone else. We all just point to the same place and say, he is worthy. That takes all the competition out of heaven. And that allows us to each celebrate each other. Whether we accomplish much or little in life means nothing as much as whether we receive the free eternal gift of God in Jesus Christ. If you're here today and you've never received that gift, or if you've fallen away, in a moment we're going to say a prayer. And I want you to say it with all your heart. I want you to start fresh. I want you to get a new beginning. I want you to jump in and get kickstarted once again. I want you to receive that grace that can only be found in God's free gift. If that's you today, say this prayer with all of us. Everyone. Heavenly Father, I've messed up. I've sinned. But I'm asking for your forgiveness. I've had bad thoughts, and I've done bad things. But I'm asking that you forgive them. As I receive your free gift, Jesus Christ, as my Lord and Savior, thank you for sending him to die for me. I receive it now. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, it's a simple prayer. And saying that prayer doesn't mean that you got a free ticket, you can do whatever you want. What it means is God is going to start a conversation with you. He's going to start a journey with you. That he's going to start revealing himself to you. Saying that prayer is so, so important. Because it gets things going. But now you need to be part of his family. You need to find a place where God has called you. You need to be planted by a river. You need to be in a place where you can grow. If you said that prayer now, and you said it and meant it with your heart, then I'm going to ask you to raise your hands in just a moment to show God that you truly meant what you said, that it was truly from your heart. In the count of three, raise them high. One, two, three. Raise them up. Let me see them. I see those hands. I see those hands. I see over four, five, six, seven hands. Let's give the Lord a clap. Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah. The Bible says, listen, I want you to know this. Those that raised your hands, the Bible says that all of heaven rejoices for one sinner who repents. One person that repents, all of heaven rejoices. Right now, there's angels in the room rejoicing because you took that step. It's not easy. It's scary to take the step to raise your hand. But if you did it, God will honor it. Amen? I'm going to call up the prayer team. We're going to dismiss now. Please stand with me. If you, if you received... Keep going, David. If you received and raised your hand, I want you to come up and get prayer if you can. Anyone that needs prayer, please get it. But I want you to say this with me. Everyone, Heavenly Father, I am born again by your Spirit. I am a child of the wind. I surrender to you, and I will watch for what you are doing. And I will obediently join in. Thank you for inspiring me to do your will in every place I go. I am a force of change. And I will be obedient to you. Amen. God bless you. We'll see you next time. Come up and have prayer. Don't forget the Christmas party next Saturday.